I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home. When the redeemed, oh, are gathering in, and we'll hear in the anthem in that city, what a city, indeed, oh, oh, we're so privileged today, when the redeemed are gathering, wash like snow, free from all sin.
Oh, I will shout.
When the redeemed are gathering in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When the redeemed are gathering in, wash like snow. Free from all sin. Do you realize you're free from sin right now?
Amen.
Through the blood of Jesus Christ?
Hey, thank you, Lord.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, what a privilege to call you Father. What a privilege, Lord, to bow our heads and close our eyes and speak to our Maker, the one who created this universe, a God that is so far above us, Lord. Lord, we worship you today. Lord, we were built to worship, and we worship the one true living God whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we invite you, Lord, to come and take control of us today. I invite you to take control of my being, my mind, and my thoughts, and my body, and take control of everyone in this building today. Lord, we're just a little people, but Lord, we're your people, God. And Lord, where two or three are gathered together, there you promise to be in the midst. And Lord, I ask you to come in a special way. Lift us up in the heavenly places. Help us to shake off the spirits of this world. Help us to shake off the cares of this world. Lord, help us to see what you want us to see. Grant it, Lord. Bless each one that's here today. You see the burdens they carry, their needs. Lord, you see the trials. Lord, we lay them at the foot of the cross. And we thank you for being our deliverer. We thank you for being our Savior, our healer. We thank you for being the Holy Ghost baptizer. Lord, come and make yourself real today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. While we're standing, can we turn to Genesis, the book of Genesis? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jarrett, for stepping up.
Amen.
Did a good job.
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate that. You know, you say, well, it's not that hard to do. You come up here and do it. Yeah, one time, I forget who it was, we had a time where we asked the men to come up here and take a few minutes and expound from the scriptures, you know. And some people didn't want to come up. They're like, no way. You know, it's different on this side than it is on that side.
Amen.
But God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
And God's in control. And I think the main thing for us is to walk softly and humbly before
Amen.
Our God.
That's right.
Walk softly and humbly, see, because God is so great, and he has a plan, and he's in control, and we need to trust him.
Amen.
No matter what, if things don't go the way we think they should, trust him anyhow.
Amen.
Because our thinking can be wrong, and his thoughts are higher. So let's go to Genesis 6, 1 to 8. We're going to talk about Noah a little bit today. And Genesis 6, 1 to 8. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. See, mixing always produces a bumper crop. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Well, we already knew, but see, God sees our heart. He sees our imagination. He sees every thought we have. And he didn't like what he saw back then. I think he doesn't like what he sees today. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Luke 17, verse 26.
Glory, hallelujah.
So we're at Luke 17, 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. That's this day.
Amen.
That's this day. You ever listen to a sermon, this day, this scripture is fulfilled?
Amen.
One of the most anointed sermons you could ever
Amen.
Hear Brother Branham preach, when he basically cried out, this day, this scripture.
Amen.
Anyway, verse 31, in that day, he which shall be upon the mountain housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife, don't turn back.
Amen.
Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, and one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding together, one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. And they answered and said to him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I'm very conscious that anyone that can read can open the Bible and read it, Lord, but it takes your spirit to come. It takes you to come and break open the bread of life to us and feed our souls, Lord. And Lord, I ask you not just to feed us today, but touch us. Touch us today, Lord. Give us that divine touch from eternity, Lord. Baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. Give us that which we have need of for this journey, Lord. We know we're at the end, Father. We ask for your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Happy to be here.
Amen.
I know we have some people vacationing, and you know, Jared, you know, he's gone away with Tim and Colleen and Sean and Patty, and they're already left. But Jared said, I'll stay behind and help you out on Sunday. So I appreciate that.
Amen.
You know, I think God will bless that kind of effort and thought. When you do something for God, you can't outgive God.
Amen.
I'm not just talking about money, but I'm talking about everything you do.
Amen.
Do you realize if you give God your time,
Amen.
He'll bless that time you give him?
Amen.
I think it was Luther or one of the reformers that he used to say, if I don't spend 3 hours in the morning praying, I can't get anything done.
Amen.
So in other words, God blessed his time. He spent the time with God, and then whatever he had to do that day, God supernaturally
Amen.
Made it come to pass.
Amen.
And see, that's a revelation. That's an understanding that, listen, if I put God first in my life,
Amen.
He's going to take care of the other things in my life.
Amen.
I'm not worried about understanding and reasoning. I have a revelation. He's first, and I put him first, and he supernaturally takes care of the rest. That's a truth, see, with God. So let's give God our time. Let's make him first in our life. And I want to speak about, from Genesis 6:8, it says, but Noah found grace. Aren't you happy for that? You know, this was a time of coming judgment. This was a time where judgment was coming upon the earth. Man had turned away from God. All the imaginations were only evil continually. And let's face it, God was grieved. Now, that's not just a little thing. God had made this creation. He had spent time, I believe, billions of years, trillions upon eons, planning the revelation of himself, of the creation of man. And so when he made man in his own image, that's a big deal. You know, we have a revelation today. A lot of people go into Genesis, they try and figure it out, but we have an advantage. We had a prophet of God, see, that eagle eyesight. In Genesis 1, he made man in his own image. He made spirit man. They missed that part. In Genesis 2, there still was no man to till the soil. And all these other guys trying to figure it out, they're scratching their head. They reason this, reason that. But we get a prophet, we say, made the spirit man in chapter 1. In chapter 2, he built man out of the dust of the earth and put that spirit into man. And they don't understand that God has a male and female spirit, and then he divided that. But thank God for the understanding we do have. I'm not interested in arguing with Ken Ham about 7 days. That guy's delusional. And he is so arrogant with it. I feel sorry for him because someday he's going to stand before his maker. And God says, you spent all that time and effort and you were completely wrong. And you were arrogant to other people. That's the sign there's something wrong. See, praise God. So anyway, I look at all God did and all the time he spent, all the trouble building creation. And then he makes the plant life and the animal life. And we don't believe in evolution. He created those things. And the fossil record shows the Cambrian explosion that happened. Scientists know there was an abundance of life that happened all at once. Creation.
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
We believe that. We believe in a creator.
Right.
And he makes man his own image. And he makes man a tool. That was a special. Man is special. We see so much perversion today, but that's fallen man.
That's right.
But man wasn't designed to be in a sinful state. He was designed to be a son or daughter of God. And that's what you and I should be reflecting to the world. Not just as a man. We may look like everybody else, but there should be a life in us that's different than everybody else.
Amen.
And they should notice that. There's something different about that person. So God was grieved. Think about how horrible that is. He was so grieved. It repenteth me that I even made this. I'm going to wipe it off the face of the earth. Not just man, but all the animals and everything else. See, and so that's as it was in the days of Noah, so it is today. Man has turned so far from God that once again God is grieved. And judgment's coming on this earth. Now, it doesn't make me happy to say that to people. Some people get happy about other people going to hell. I don't think that's the spirit of Christ. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I want everybody to be saved. Even if the man's wrong, I still want him to be saved. Even if the man's wrong and he's picking on me, I still want him to be saved. Because I have an understanding that he doesn't have. God help us. So God was grieved. He said, so grieved, he made a decision. He said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for repenteth me. You know, if people only knew the truth today,
amen.
If they only knew the truth that God is not pleased, God is grieved. I believe God is grieved. And that judgment is coming. We see judgment striking the earth already. But I believe it's going to be much worse than it is today. Much worse. Isaiah 57:16 is one of the favorite verses I love to think about. He says, says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, for I will, he says, I will dwell with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. And then in 16 it says, for I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. I will not contend forever. See, God contends now with fallen man. He contends with you and I. His spirit comes and says, that's wrong. You shouldn't do that. And you know, he's not going to contend forever.
Right.
Neither will I always be wroth, for the spirit should fail before me and the souls which I have made. See, God's not always going to contend. We know the Bible promises judgment's coming. And there's this time, it's so severe. See, after the days in days of Noah, when the flood came, Noah found grace, and then God worked with man again. And see, but now God is taking grace off the table. There's coming a time where he that's filthy is filthy still. He that's holy, holy still. He's drawing a line. Do you realize that he knows the exact moment when that's going to... I believe it's the rapture. I believe when he takes his spirit from this earth and the devil's cast out of heaven, that's it. That's the time. And Brother Branham said the tribulation be so bad, people will come to church thinking they're getting saved when actually there's no blood. See, because right now there's blood on the altar. The Lamb's there making intercession for us. And that blood's there, or else it'd be white throne judgment. But the blood, thank God for the blood. The blood is what makes us at peace with God. See, though thy sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. So the blood on our scarlet sins makes us white as snow. But see, what happened is when he comes off the throne fully and he takes that bride physically and the rapture completely is gone, what happens? The Spirit of God take it from the earth. And like Billy Graham says, 97 probably higher percent of the churches on the earth wouldn't know nothing about it if God takes his spirit from the earth. They got their music program. They got the whooped it up thing. They got this, they got that, and they don't have Christ. See, so they can you can have all these religious things and not have Christ. So when God takes that from the earth, what a time is coming on this earth. And at the same time that the accuser of the brethren is cast down, Satan finds himself. See, there was a time where God Almighty put the fullness of his spirit in a man, and that's the Jesus who we love. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the Bible said he found himself in the form of a man. God in man. He was man, but he was God. And see, we get a portion of the Spirit of God, but Jesus, the Spirit without measure. See, some people want to put that without measure on Brother Branham. No, he was just a prophet of God, and we love Brother Branham's ministry, and we love all the sermons he preached, but he was not Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ came in him in a portion and used him in his last days to manifest the scriptures. But there's only one person that ever lived that was perfect, and his name is Jesus Christ. And only he is our example. Brother Branham is not our example. Jesus is our example. Now, I'll say Brother Branham was a good example, but he's not the example. Amen. Jesus in him. Jesus in, you know, if you let Jesus have preeminence in you, you'll be a good example.
Amen.
Right? So it's Jesus. So we think about that and how God was manifested in Christ and fully formed in Jesus Christ. And he found himself as a man and he operated on this earth. And he said, before Abraham was, I am. He knew who he was. He knew who he was. When you see me, you see the Father. He knew who he was. Well, what I'm telling you is when the bride gets lifted out of earth, Satan is cast out now of heaven, and he will find himself in a man. Now, we know what that office is. That's the office of the Pope. Now, he doesn't find himself in a man down on the corner that's got no money and no place to live. He finds himself in a man with power to speak, to motivate people. Oh, and the devil's clever. He's a slicker, right? He was beautiful at one time.
Yes, he was.
He's the one that inspired the cathedrals and everything, because he was in heaven and he realized when you're in the presence of God, there's a wow, there's an awe. So he tries to replicate that in the natural, right? But when he comes down inside of a man, look out. I can tell you the first place he's going to attack is the end time truth, where the carcass was and where the eagles were gathered. I say were because they'll be gone. Amen. You don't want to be around the truth after the rapture, because the devil is going to go out and destroy. He's going to destroy. So we know that's true. I'm not trying to scare anybody. You need the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's not an option. Don't sit there and say, well, I'll be one of the tribulation saints, you know, because I'm not good enough to go in. None of us are good enough to go in the rapture. Amen. You go in the rapture because you're baptized and sealed with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it's not an option, because you don't want to be around those couple hundred thousand horsemen that are going to be loosed on this earth. You look what they did in those days, the dark days, how they tortured and killed Christians. Those things are going to be loosed again. You're not going to want to be here in the tribulation period. Look at the anarchy that's going to happen. You know, they think they're going to take the guns off these American people. There are so many guns squirreled away in people's basements, in people's bunkers. They're getting ready for that time. You say, well, they don't need all those guns for hunting and fishing. No, they're not getting ready for that. They're getting ready for anarchy. And there's going to come a time of lawlessness in this country, a tribulation period, a time of trouble that never was before. It's coming. Judgment is coming. The rapture is going to take place. See, and God's going to take it away. And then people are going to, religious people saying, well, we thought there was supposed to be a rapture before the tribulation. It's already happened. And you didn't know. Is that what the message of the hour said? The rapture is going to take place, a secret, sudden catching away. The only people that are going to know the rapture happened is the people that are part of the rapture. God, you think he's not slick enough that he can do it? And you know, when God does something supernatural, there's always a natural explanation if you want to rely on that. So in other words, somebody disappeared, say, well, I think they were going to go on a trip somewhere. Or they were always a kind of a fanatical group over there. That's what Brother Branham said. He said, if a bulk of a church was gone, let's just say, by the grace of God, everybody here today goes in the rapture. And I hope that's true. Amen. They were kind of fanatics anyway. They followed some cult prophet thing. They probably went out in the Arizona desert or something. See, there's always going to be an explanation. People aren't going to understand and know that it happened. They're going to keep going. Life's going to keep going on, but the Holy Ghost is not going to be around. A time of trouble, a time of judgment striking. And I don't believe it'll be just one thing. I don't believe it'll be just natural. It'll be some natural. Look at the hurricanes and the earthquakes. That'll be part of it, striking. But I also believe it will be man. Look at nuclear bombs and things like that. We got idiots in charge of countries. Amen. Amen. But God has allowed that. And trouble's coming. People just are like, they don't want to think about it. Well, yeah, I know that's, but I don't want to think about that. I want my stocks to keep growing and I want to have a lot of money. And it's delusional thinking. Amen. Everything you see in the natural is going to go away. Amen. Don't store your treasures in natural things that you can see. Your treasures should be in heaven. Amen. Where moth can't get to, where a thief can't get in and destroy. But when tribulation happens, the guy with the bigger gun is going to get the food. Amen. One brother said to me, well, I'm storing food in my basement. I said, they're just going to take it from you. Amen. They're just going to take it from you. Well, I got a bunch of guns. Well, somebody else can have better guns. It's going to be a total mess, I believe. Yes, it is, man. This world is not our home.
Amen.
We're just a passing through. Amen. My treasures are laid up somewhere Amen. Beyond the blue.
Amen.
The angels beckon me.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
It's time to get out of here, brother, Amen, sister. So as it was in the days of Noah with coming judgment, so it is today. Judgment's coming. We're not happy about that. We keep trying to get people to Calvary. We keep trying to get people to Christ, to be born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will lead them and guide them into all truth. That's how they'll see the message. Some people get people saved by showing them Brother Branham as a prophet. You know, that doesn't save anybody. There's a lot of people who believe Brother Branham's a prophet that aren't saved. That's right. The message ranks have proved that.
Amen,
get people to Calvary.
Yes, Lord.
Get people filled with the Holy Ghost, and He'll lead them and guide them into all truth, which includes the message of the hour.
Amen.
I believe.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We get it backwards.
Good,
you know, we need to be led by the Spirit. So judgment is past too. The terrible times are coming on this earth, and we see that people have gone away. And I believe judgment's past due.
Yeah.
Personally, I think it's past due, but God is long-suffering.
Amen.
And this is it. This is it.
Amen.
So, but we notice, as it was in the days of, not only was there great judgment coming, but Noah found grace
Amen.
In the eyes of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Aren't you happy for that?
Amen.
See, Noah found grace before the great flood. And I believe there will be someone on this earth that finds grace.
Amen.
And Lord, let us be part of that.
Amen.
So grace doesn't come because you deserve it. Grace doesn't come because you earned it. See, grace is sovereignly given. Noah didn't deserve grace.
Amen.
He walked with the Lord, and God said good things, that he was perfect in his generations. But grace doesn't come because you earned it. Grace is sovereignly given by God.
Amen.
And we don't deserve the grace of God, but somehow we find it. Can you say I found grace?
Amen.
Or maybe grace found me.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
You know, I wasn't even looking and grace found me. So I'm thankful for that. So what I want to talk about today, what was it that demonstrated that Noah found grace?
Amen.
I want you to think about that. Genesis 6, 11 to 14. The earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. Isn't that today?
Mm-hmm.
Every day you hear some violent, crazy thing happening. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth.
Amen.
And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms that thou shalt make in the ark, and pitch it within and pitch it without. Now let's go back to the beginning of that verse, 13. And God said unto Noah. You know what demonstrated grace in Noah's life? God spoke to him.
Amen.
He met God. That's a demonstration of grace. Praise God. Don't you love that?
Amen.
God spoke to Noah.
Amen.
Praise God. That's grace, brothers and sisters. You know, people don't like it when you say, God spoke to me.
Yeah.
If you ever share with somebody that's never met God and you say, well, the Lord showed me this, or God spoke to me actually and said this, that who do you think you are? God don't do that. See, and really, they should say, as far as I know, God don't do that. Because we stand there by grace and say, God spoke to me.
Amen.
I know I don't deserve it, but I was there.
Amen.
How do you know it was God? I can't explain it, but I know.
Amen.
Because I was there. And if you was there, you would know. See, it's a sign of grace. Personal contact with God. Personal contact. I love that.
Amen.
See, now I realize today, and let me say this, many people in the world today say God spoke to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out later, well, doesn't seem like it.
Amen.
You know, I can't tell you how many people come to me, God, show me this, that you're going to do that. And I say, really? And I say, you know, if God said it, then there's nothing I can do to stop it. So I'm going that way. And they're like, what? No, God showed me. You're going to do this. The church is going to be there in that place. And I said, really?
Well, I'm going to go the other way. And I'm not going to lift one finger to make that happen. And if God really spoke to you, it's going to happen anyway. Amen. And they sit there going, oh. See, that's not God speaking. That's somebody guessing. That's somebody trying to manipulate other people. Amen. By saying, God, show me this or God, show me that. But So I realize many people can say, I can't tell you how many people come to me and say, God, show me that you're going to give me some money. And I said, really? You know, God didn't show me. Don't you think he should work on both sides on this deal?
Right, brother.
No. He showed me, just hand it over. And so I told you before, I don't do anything unless I feel led to do it.
Amen.
I've learned from my past mistakes. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So just because someone says, God showed me this, or God spoke to me, doesn't mean
Amen.
That he really did. But I notice this, time will tell the story. Time will prove whether that was so or not. Right? But the great part is, Noah really did hear from God.
Amen.
See, so in the midst of the false, there's a real.
Amen.
And you might have 99 that say they heard from God and are liars, but there'll be one that really did hear from God.
Amen.
That's the bride of Christ today. Praise God. God still speaks to his people. I believe that with all my heart. And you say, do you mean an audible voice? I'm not saying it has to be an audible voice. He still can do that. He does what he wants sovereignly. But I'm saying you as a person, you can take this book, which is the word of God, and you can sit down and read it. And God Almighty can speak to you from his word. And I'm not just saying you read a verse and you intellectually understood it. I'm saying Almighty God can quicken that word to you, and it's a personal word to you.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
You know, God could do that in church. He could take the worst preacher in the world, but if you have faith, he can move that and speak to you personally.
Amen.
And that can be a word from God to you.
Amen.
See, so I believe God still speaks. I had so many examples of where I know God spoke to me and by his grace and mercy.
Amen.
That doesn't mean that I'm any better than anybody else. It means grace has taken
Amen.
Place.
Amen.
That's how I look at it. Grace. Great grace. Praise God. The other thing is, when you look at what God told Noah, God showed Noah the corrupt condition of the world. See, so when God spoke to Noah, you know, God speaks truth. And if God shows you the condition of the world, he's going to show you the real condition of the world. It's just like yourself. If God shows you your own condition, he's going to show you the real condition.
Amen.
See, he's going to show you really where you are. And I believe that's a sign of grace to see the real corrupt condition of the world and to see our own corrupt condition. Because that grace leads us to Calvary. It leads us to repentance, right? So God showed Noah the corrupt condition. Most people can't see it. Now we're living in a world, and I'm not talking about just atheists and things. I'm talking about Christian people. I was talking to a Christian man, and he's got a real testimony, and he's really dedicated and really sincere, but he's trying to tell me, he says, people say the world is really bad today. It's the same as it always was. And I'm thinking, you can't see, can you?
Amen.
It is bad today.
Amen.
It is corrupt today.
Amen.
For instance, let me just, you go back to 9/11, and we heard about terrorism, and terrorism became to a forefront to our mind, and we thought, oh, we knew there was terrorism, but we didn't know they were going to fly a plane into a big building in New York City. See, and that was bad to us. But then years later, we hear about ISIS. And it got worse.
Amen.
Cutting people's heads off. Right? Teaching their children. Cutting people's heads. That's sick.
Amen.
To me, it's sicker and worse than flying a plane into the building.
Yes, it is.
Okay? So the devil, it keeps getting worse. The people of the world, they don't know what's going on. But Christians, with their eyes open, and realize, listen, it's getting worse and worse. It used to be you walk through a store and you see, I remember like in a computer store, if I had to buy some pens or papers and I'd walk by the software aisle. and you look at the boxes, right? And you'd see, like, you know, maybe army men with guns and things like that. And now you walk by the store and you're scared to look at it. Devils coming off, inspired by devils, the hideous horror, despicable things being portrayed into young people's mind.
That's right, brother. That's
good. It's worse today than it was just a few years ago. The condition is getting worse and worse. The morality of the people. You know, I always wanted to have a book of, and I'm always picking on the women, but just say a woman who is a Christian in 1900, and then 1910 and 1920, a picture of a typical dressed Christian, and then a typical of a not a church going woman. And I hate to say it, but back then, the people that didn't claim to be Christian dressed more modestly than Christians dress today.
Amen.
So what's changed? The moral compass has gone down. The standards have been eroded. People think of modesty and they think of modest dress and they don't have a clue about what it really is. Right? That's the truth. And so, and you know, that's not just worldly people, that's Christian people.
Amen.
See, I believe if you're tapped into the same Holy Ghost that always was and always will be, then you're going to have a same understanding of modesty if you're really tapped in. It's the influences of modern society that affect us. Right? Sisters, I thank God when you dress modestly. Because I look out in the world and there's hardly a woman dressed right. Tight clothes, you know. That's why Brother Branham ripped it to shreds. See, because a woman that is tapped into the Holy Ghost is a jewel of great price. Because she keeps herself and she dresses. A woman's body is different than a man, okay? Now, man, you can dress immodestly as a man too, but there's something different about a woman's body. See, that's a sacred thing. You keep that. And that's what we should teach our young people. What happens? Young people grow up and they start telling us that we don't know nothing.
Right.
But if they get tapped into the Holy Ghost, they're going to realize how smart we are.
Amen.
That's the truth. Because the Holy Ghost doesn't change.
Amen.
That's the point. Society changes and it's gone downhill to the place where you don't even have to go on to the internet is one of the most dangerous places in the world, but you don't have to go on there. All you can go outside and you can see filthy dressed women everywhere.
Amen.
Wearing like pajamas.
Yeah.
It's insanity. Our society has gone insane and they think we're insane for saying something about it. Help us, Lord. You know, get us out of here. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. This world is not our home.
Amen.
We're not welcome here. So most people can't see it. They're blinded by sin. They're accustomed to sin. And what we got to be careful of is that we don't get accustomed to sin.
Amen.
Yes, we rub shoulders with it every day. But let's remember, God hates sin. Not that he hated that sinner, but he hates the sin. He doesn't agree with that. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And they don't realize how bad it is. Verse 13, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. I'm going to destroy them, he says. That's not a popular message. That is not popular to say, judgment's coming, destruction's coming, things are not going to get better. The whole world wants us and everyone to say, things are going to get better. Things are going to improve. We're going to get more money. We're going to have more prosperity. Don't talk about destruction. But the truth is, destruction's coming. So I pray, God, give us wisdom to know how to talk to people about that. I would say, Lord, help us so that they can see. You know, somebody always accepts something better when it's their own idea. But if you try and force an idea on somebody, that's why Christianity is not forced religion. You just testify the truth and God God quickens them to that, and then they accept that as their belief. But if you try to force somebody, then they're just accepting because you force them. Now, if someone in the world say, look at this, you point out the bad things that are happening, what do you think of that? What do you think of the hurricanes? What I say is, isn't it something how that eclipse crossed over the United States, and it's been a little rough since then? And they say, that's right. Because they never put it together that this eclipse was a spectacular event, right, across the U.S. and everybody's ooh and ah, but what does it mean? Judgment's coming on this country more than others. I believe that. Brother Branham had a vision. He saw this country coast to coast wiped out. Not every country, but this country. God help us to see. Do you realize you're working next to people that are going to go in the tribulation period unless something happens? You know you're working with someone. You say, well, it's obvious they're not a Christian. You can tell by the way they talk, the way they live, their goals, their ambitions, their desires. See, and you can tell somebody's a Christian too by the way they talk, the way they live, their goals, ambitions, desires. It tells what their life is in there, right? So you can tell people around you they're not Christian people. And if they're not Christians filled with the Holy Ghost, sealed by God with the token, they're going to tribulation period. Are you okay with that? We should not be okay with that. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Amen.
He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So it's our job. It's a commission to all of us. Don't be content with somebody close to you going into the tribulation period because you really don't want them there. What happens is it's like hell. We take that thought and we put it out of our mind because it's too horrible to think about someone that we know burning in hell, living in hell for millions and millions of eons of years until the second death comes on them and hell is no more. But when we think about people going to hell, we don't want to think about it. So we put it out of our mind. That don't mean it's not real.
Amen. Right.
It is real. Tribulation period is real. It's going to happen. And it's going to happen just like we believe the rapture is going to happen to us alive today. Tribulation is going to happen to people today. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. They were talking to people that were going to be dying in the flood. God help us. So God showed Noah how bad it was. And you know, it really is grace to see the condition of the world the way it is. It really is grace to see you wrong. It may be painful, but it's grace. It doesn't make me happy to think about people going to hell. Have you ever thought about it? Your loved ones, your neighbor, your coworker, they're going to be in hell. I can't save them, but Jesus can. And the devil's like, you can't do this, you can't do that, you'll never be able to witness, you're no good. What we ought to say is, I'm a child of the King.
Amen.
Now, I'm worthy of anything, I don't have any abilities, but I'm willing. I'm a willing soldier. I'm willing to be rejected, just as Christ was willing. Because it pains me to think about them going to hell. So in softly, humbly, we present the truth to people. And listen, if you're struggling and you're saying, I'm not able to talk to people. It's not my thing. You know, if you're struggling with that and there's somebody you want to talk to, pray about it. I remember a time, and I've told you this before, that I wanted to talk to my parents. And I wanted to share what I believe was salvation. And I really struggled because every time I tried to talk to my dad, the Catholic thing was there. And it was always an attitude there. And he's just, and I said, Lord, I want to talk to my parents about salvation from my heart without that thing being there. And I can't make that happen, Lord, but you can make it happen.
Amen.
And I prayed that and I gave it to God and I forgot about it. And then God used Brother Green. I think I told you before, he come to my house, and my dad was like, oh, Brother Green was like a big, you know, presence, you know. And after Brother Green left, and Brother Green had a lot of wisdom in dealing with my parents. He didn't belittle them. He was nice to them, which I think wisdom have you be polite to people, not rude to people. So after he left, I would go to my parents' house and just talk to them. And I love my parents. God knows my heart. And I'd sit down and we'd have a cup of tea. And there's Mom and Dad. And my dad says, so is he like the Pope? And I said, no, Dad. I said, we don't have that. We're individual churches that are individually sovereign. We don't have that kind of hierarchy. And I said, he has a large ministry. He's been around the world and preaching. But what I noticed right away, that thing wasn't there.
Amen.
God did it.
Amen.
He took that spirit away, right? And my dad really wanted to know. And I thank God today. I praise the Lord Jesus today. I had a chance to share the simple gospel
Amen.
To my parents. And God alone knows what happened in their hearts. I'm no man's judge, right?
Amen.
See, my desire is to point people to Calvary. Because I believe that's what our prophet said. You're not saved because you're trusting in some church. If you're trusting in the Catholic Church, you're lost. If you're trusting in your Pentecostal church, you're lost. If you're trusting in this message churches, you're lost. But if you're solemnly trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you're saved. Now you can be saved and not in the bride. We know that's true too. But, you know, I just want people to be saved. It's up to God to pick his own bride.
Amen.
But let's get people to Calvary. Let's show them the blood of Jesus Christ. God can quicken to them in their heart. Maybe on their deathbed. Maybe when they're unconscious, he can quicken to them. And they can say, I believe that.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you.
Amen.
Thank God for the blood. Point people to Calvary.
Amen. Right.
That's what they need.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1.
Amen.
There it is. This know also that in the last days, are we in the last days?
Amen.
Perilous times shall come. Perilous times shall come. Let me just read a couple of verses here. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, if that's not today. Covetous, always wanting something, never satisfied. Always wanting more money, always wanting more possessions. Covetous, sexual covetous. Oh, just it's terrible today. Boasters, everywhere you go. Proud. God hates a proud look. What about a proud heart?
Right.
Proud. Don't be proud. All right. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Boy, if people could just see that. God lumps that right in. You know, I remember my mom and dad, they may have been wrong, but I never, ever, by the grace of God, I never one time spoke back to my mother and father. I had respect to them, and that's been lost in this generation. Disrespectful, disobedient, snarky. Unbelievable what this generation is producing. Disobedient to parents, unthankful. Unthankful. You know, be grateful. Be thankful for what God has done. Unholy. Well, yes, that's even around the churches. Without natural affection, truce breakers, and we know, you know, without natural affection, the homosexual perversion is everywhere. Now they're transgender. It's just insanity. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. If you try to be good, they hate you.
Amen.
If you try to do the right thing, they hate you. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God.
Amen.
And that's so obvious, see, because no matter what somebody says, their actions speak louder than the words, see. Love is a pleasure, more love is a God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. See, religious, but they don't believe in God, the supernatural God. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs was. So listen, it's manifesting time too.
Amen.
It's manifesting time. Remember, as the tares grow up, you can look at the definition of a tare. It looks just like the wheat and when it's growing up. See, but when it comes to maturity and the head forms, a child can see the difference. And that's what's happening now, brother and sister. People are coming up. It's like someone who, I know several brothers that I love dearly and still love them today, preached the message of the hour, really seemed like they're really full of the Holy Ghost, but now comes the maturity and they deny Brother Branham. They say he wasn't the fulfillment of Malachi 4. And my heart just sinks, I think. Well, it's manifesting time.
Amen.
If God can't show them, how can I? How can I? You can't reason with people like that. For many years going along, and then now manifesting time shows, and they walk away from it. Say, well, I don't know how you walk away from that. What are you walking to?
Amen.
I've never seen somebody walk away from the message of the hour and improve their condition spiritually. It's always been downhill journey from there.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So in the beginning of that, it said, perilous time, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, what does perilous mean? If you look up the definition, it means hard to bear. Well, yeah. Troublesome. Amen. Dangerous. You know, when I say internet, I think dangerous.
Amen.
That's dangerous because your mind can be exposed to many things that are going to hurt you. And the computer is different today than it used to be. Talk about getting worse. It used to be, unless you stole some software or copied it or got some illegal software, you didn't have risk of getting a virus. Now, they're coming after you. The scheming. The company I work for, The Natural, has given us so much training about these criminals. That are out there trying to trick you to get you to click on something. And all you got to do is click on something that looks so innocent. It looks like it came from your bank. It looks like it came from someone you know. And you click on that thing and it encrypts your whole computer. And then something pops up that says, oh, your computer has been encrypted. But if you call this number, we can help you. It's them. The ones that locked up your computer, are offering you, if you pay, to unlock your computer. Do you realize that? And you know how much money they make? It's a $1 billion industry. It's happening all over the place. I'm scared to click on anything. If you send me an email, I'm sorry, I probably deleted it. That's right. People send all kinds of stuff. I'm like, I don't even know if that's them. That's how bad the devil is. He's cunning today.
That's right, brother. Amen.
So you don't even have to be going to look for something bad. If you're out there on the internet land and the computer world, it's there coming after you. And we need to be conscious of the corruption and conscious of our own flesh condition and say, you know what? Adam and Eve, they should have never went there where they went. Sexual act, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't even go there. If you touch it, you die. And they ate of it. They partook of it. But, see, here's the thing. You ever think about it? God put that dare in them. He put that avenue in them, but they weren't supposed to go there.
Mm-hmm.
because it's too powerful.
Amen.
There's things in our life today, and the internet's one of them. There's things there too powerful for you and I. Just don't go there. You know your own condition. You know your frailty. Just stay away. That's a caution. It's a warning. I've seen the downside of good men that got trapped into pornography, and I've been sadly there when they were exposed and their wife felt betrayed, and talk about a humbling. It's almost worse than committing adultery. It is committing adultery, see? And so, but it's worse, because how do you fix that? You get locked in. It's spirits.
Amen.
Trying to capture people.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And I talked to an evangelist around a message. He goes around and he said, John, it's not just men. It's men and women. It's both. He said, I would have a series of meetings, about the seventh, eighth meeting in a row. I'd preach about that. He said, the altars be filled with men and women addicted to pornography. It is an evil spirit, and it's a progressively evil spirit. You can't just taste a little bit, and besides, it takes you further, further, further. And you got these men abusing little children. They didn't start there. It's the devil that does it.
Amen.
Brother, sister, stay away. We got to stay away from those things.
Amen.
It's corruption in the land today. God help us. The world has gone after that. I had a cousin, a good young man, and he wasn't into pornography, but he was a filmmaker, and someone got him to do a documentary on it. And he said, John, I never had that problem. And he was a Catholic boy, but a really nice kid, nice young man. Sean Finnegan was his name. And I met him at one of the funerals. The only time I meet my cousins now, somebody dies. You know, that's the time, the way it is, the time of my life for me. And so I meet my cousin at a funeral, and he got talking, and somehow he told me about it. He said, John, you would not believe. I do believe. Most of the internet traffic is that. It's all sexual pornography. What is it? The sin in the beginning. It's the sin at the end. So you and I, you can't sit there and say, well, I'm not subject to that. Your flesh is corrupt.
Amen.
My flesh is corrupt. We cannot handle what's available. So what we got to do? If you walk in the Spirit, you will not satisfy the lust of the flesh. That's be proactive. Say, I need to get in the Spirit. I need to feed on the things that are good and not the things that are bad. Because every one of us, if truth be known, are subject to those spirits. Don't ever think it's above you, because that's how the devil gets. Oh, you can handle it. None of us can handle it. Anyway, I didn't mean to get into that today. But Noah found grace. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm so glad. So God spoke to Noah personally, a sign of grace. He had personal contact with God. What a sign of grace. Then God showed him the condition of the world, and then something wonderful. God gave him specific instructions how to escape. Don't you love that? He gave Noah specific instructions how to be saved. Build an ark. Build an ark. Oh, the ark is our hiding place today. The ark was Noah's hiding place. The ark was where he would hide when the time came. The ark was to keep him safe. And you know, he had to build it exactly the way God told him.
Right.
Now, here's the crazy part today. Noah, I am sure he just, God said, do it like this, and he did it like that. Today, we got so many religious people, they want to improve on God's plan. They put their guesses to things. They put their own puny thinking to it. And they say, well, this means that. And this means that. You know, God don't need us to do that. We don't need to try and make any improvements. We just need to build the ark exactly the way God told us to. That's the wonderful thing. You don't need to be clever. You need to be simple. Not simple foolish, but not manipulate. Not the wisdom of the devil, but faith in God's word.
Amen.
See, so today we don't need to add our thinking. That's such a huge thing. I believe that's the number one problem around the message of the hour. People adding their thinking, mixing it with the word, and it looks better, sounds better. You might get some churches jumping up and down. It looks beautiful, but it's death. See? This message did not come to bring something new. This message came to bring something old. This message did not come to create a new gospel and a new birth, a different birth experience. It came to restore the original Pentecostal experience.
Amen.
Praise God. Back to the original, back to the old fashioned. Where, you know, when you have a Pentecostal experience, you know that you met God. That makes you different. It doesn't matter all of your faults and all of your failings. That experience is going to get you through. Because it's just like you were there, like when Moses was before that burning bush, he was no longer the same. He was a different Moses. Because God spoke to him, and he spoke to God, and he knew he was there, and he had a different mission from then on in his life. Everything before there was preparation for what God was going to do.
Amen.
Amen. That's the same way with you and I. When we have a real born-again experience, God meets us on those holy grounds, and we are no longer part of self. Self dies out. Our only ambition is what God wants us to do.
Amen.
No longer you're not lifted up at all because you've been in the presence of the Almighty.
Amen.
You're nothing. You know you're nothing.
Amen.
You can't get lifted up because you know how high and lifted up He is. Praise God. Hallelujah. Today we enter that ark through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because today that ark is Christ. How do you get into Christ? By one spirit, we're baptized into one body.
Amen.
See, it's not enough to know the letter. You can listen to tapes every day. You can read your Bible every day. But it's the spiritual new birth that we need more than anything. And that new birth changes us from the inside out. It's not intellectual. It's a spirit. Different than our spirit.
Amen.
It makes you different. It's like something Brother Branham said. I know I've said this many times, but I love how Brother Branham said this. In the adoption series, part two of the adoption, you know, there's going to be adopted sons. He says, all in love now. The whole thing is all bundled up now. This has been tried to be taught on many times. And no doubt what greater theologians has struck it a lot deeper than I could. See the humility in Brother Branham?
Amen.
Humility. But the thing I want to try to get to you is this. Now, I'm going to stop here because if you ever listen to a sermon, I realize I'm quoting Brother Branham. He is emphasizing something. Sometimes he talks and people use the quote and they emphasize something he didn't emphasize. Right? But here, you can listen to this tape. He is emphasizing this point in a major way. Now listen, the thing I want to get to try to get to you is this, that a man, that's man or woman, that is in Christ with the Holy Ghost, he qualifies this person. What kind of person is that? A man in Christ with the Holy Ghost. Child of God, right? A man that's in Christ with the Holy Ghost can bear with a man when he's wrong. Woo! Can bear with a man when he's wrong. Long-suffering, gentle, patient. He's sweet, humble, faithful, filled with the Spirit, never negative, always positive. He's a different person. What's he describing? Brother Bram's describing a person that found grace. Grace found them. And they're in Christ. See, we cannot think that we found grace when we go around negative all the time, talking about everybody else, blaming everybody else, when our greatest enemy is ourself.
Amen.
It doesn't matter where we go and no matter who we talk to, our greatest problem is ourself. It's the devil that tries to get us to look at other people.
Amen.
Yeah, we all got faults. If you look at my faults, you'll spend here till eternity looking at my faults. I know that. I've seen them. I know I'm without Christ, I'm nothing. But you know what? I'm not looking at my faults. I'm looking at what he did for me. So it's really a disaster if the devil gets you looking at someone else's wrongs. Now listen, we can always see fault in somebody else, but how about ourselves? Let's look in the mirror today. If the devil can get you focused on someone else's wrongs, he's got you. You spiral down a hole. Bitterness, hate, blaming other people. Can't see your own problems now.
Amen.
Can't see what the Holy Ghost is working on with you because you're so focused on that.
Amen.
What did Brother Bram say? Never negative, always positive. He's a different person.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise the living Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. How do we know grace is taking place? You're a different person. Boy, what did Brother Brand talk about that? There was that one sister in that church, and they said she never said nothing negative about anybody.
Praise the Lord.
Really? Well, how about the devil? He's a good adversary.
Amen.
Never negative, always positive.
Amen.
Does the message of the hour emphasize that?
Amen.
Yes, it does. Don't tell me you understand the message and you're clueless about that. Can bear with people when they're wrong. I'm not even going to talk about it when somebody's wrong. What's the use? I will pray for them.
Amen.
Oh, but Brother John, they shouldn't be wrong. They're claiming to be religious. They shouldn't be wrong. Listen, when you're pointing that way, you got three of your fingers pointing back at you.
Amen.
We're all wrong. I'm not focusing on who's wrong. I'm focusing on what Jesus did for me. And you know what? Jesus can do it for them too.
Amen.
And what if Jesus is overlooking their faults and you're looking at them?
Woo!
Help us, Lord. Listen, I'm just as guilty as anybody. I'm preaching to myself. Let's not look at people's faults. Let's look at what Jesus did for them. You know, David had a prayer one time. After he killed Uriah. You can read that in the Psalms, right? He's like, oh Lord, I have wronged no one but you. I'm sitting there thinking, well, how about Uriah?
Amen.
Right? David wasn't thinking exactly clearly at the time. But in his heart, which God looks on the heart, God saw his heart. Repenting, turning back to him. See?
Amen.
So God overlooks sometimes when we don't completely see clearly. And I say, thank God for that.
Yes.
Well, Brother John, he can overlook for me, but for them, he can't overlook for them. Wait a minute. Mercy now.
Yes.
Mercy means you could hold somebody accountable and you let it go. They did wrong. I'm going to trumpet that on the hilltops. Or you could say, they did wrong. I know they're wrong. I'm going to pray for them.
Amen.
And not say another word about it.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Say, Brother John, you're stepping on my toes.
Amen, brother.
Maybe it's not me.
Amen.
Right? My toes hurt too. I'm stepping on. I got big feet.
Amen.
I step all over my toes up here. How about it, Amber?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Moses was in an ark. Trying to finish up now. He was in an ark of safety. I love that. Because think about that little baby. It had a mama. It must have tore her heart to put Moses in a little ark, right? Cover it up. She pushes it out there on the Nile. All little crocodiles and critters. All the devils of hell trying to just destroy that thing. Because they knew something about that proper baby born. Like when Jesus was born, they knew something happened here. Because listen, all the religious people, they could say, well, we don't think she was a virgin. The devil knew she was a virgin.
Amen.
Woo! Something supernatural happened in that birth.
Amen.
The devil saw Moses, something hovering over him, and there's a bride in this hour. The devil knows there's a light that hangs around them people. We got to get them. Praise God. Moses in that ark, all the devils trying to destroy it, but he was safe in that ark because Christ is the ark. And when you get into Christ, you're safe. Doesn't matter about the circumstances or anything like that. In the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant, what was in there? The tables of the Ten Commandments, right? The pot of manna, food. Oh, there's spiritual food in Christ. If you get into Christ, he can feed your soul, right? Aaron's rod that budded. What's this symbolize? See, you know the story of Aaron's rod. They had all the rods, put them down, they're all dead. And Aaron's rod budded. Supernaturally, to identify God's man. You see, supernatural has to be part of the message of the hour. You take all the supernatural out of the book of Acts, what do you got? You got a lot of holes. You take the supernatural out of Brother Man's ministry, it's just not the same no more. But the devil's taking the supernatural out of the message of the hour, and they say, that's deep teaching. It's ridiculous. Where is the power of God? Where is the supernatural expectation? Where the blinded eyes open, the dead raised. Where is it? Somebody's going to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And not run after every new teaching that comes along and say, oh, aren't they a great teacher? I don't care how they can preach. Let me see Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me see the word made manifest. Amen. That's what we're contending for. Amen. I wouldn't follow this message if God didn't supernaturally vindicate it. Amen. It's amazing how people follow all kinds of nonsense with no supernatural vindication. None. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We got to have a seal of God, the token,
Amen.
The seal, right? We got the ark of safety. It has to be a seal. It was pitched on the inside and pitched on the outside. Properly sealed. So the water couldn't get through, right?
Amen.
It would have been destroyed without the seal. And you and I will be destroyed without the seal of God.
Amen.
That is our protection. Because the seal is the Holy Ghost, is Christ. That is our ark. How do we get into Christ? By one spirit, we're baptized into one body. We've got to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. That seal comes into our soul, and we're safe. We're safe. What was the proof that Noah found grace?
Amen.
He got into the ark. Grace led him into the ark. He built it. He got into it. God closed the door. What about today? Don't tell me that you found grace and you don't have the Holy Ghost. Grace leads you to the Holy Ghost. It's the most important thing in your life. There is nothing more important. Praise be to God. Grace leads us to repentance.
Amen.
The devil doesn't do that. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance.
Amen.
That's grace to me. You know, I this is actually truth. I actually feel good. It doesn't feel good, but I feel good when God pricks my heart.
Amen.
And I'm down on my knees and tears coming down in repentance.
Amen.
Because I said, you know what? He hadn't let hold of me yet.
Amen.
He hadn't let hold of me yet. Right? And I'll say this, and I haven't preached everywhere, but everywhere I go, everywhere I've been around the world, when you're preaching the gospel, it's to me, there's a quality of that believer that likes for God to correct them.
Amen.
Where the devil's children don't want to be corrected.
Amen.
They resist that.
Amen.
They don't go to repentance. There's no Holy Ghost. But when the Holy Ghost is in somebody, it leads them right to repentance, and there's a brokenness and there's a sweetness, and they say, thank you. God spoke to me. Thank you. That was for me. That's a sign of grace. Praise God. Can I just read a couple quotes and we'll finish? And I believe, Brother Branham says, I believe that this universal revival that's sweeping the lands is an indication of the message like it was in the days of Noah. When men and women are rioting in sin, and Noah had a fanatic gospel that he preached. And he called people to the ark of safety. And I believe that the glorious gospel of the Son of God manifested by the Holy Ghost is sweeping the country today, bringing people into the ark, which is Christ Jesus. Safely secured from all the judgments that's going to come. You believe that? Let me just read this other one here. Look back then there, Noah and Enoch was preaching, and Noah was preaching a message that seemed so crazy to the world. And Noah, here it is now. Noah was preparing an ark, making a place of safety, and that was a miracle on its own. How a man upon dry land, where water had never come, was preparing an ark to float on a mighty sea. And say it was coming down from the skies. Where was it? By faith, which is a miracle itself. Noah, warned of God, prepared an ark. You see it? No matter how foolish it seemed, how fanatical it seemed to the people, it was a miracle in itself to see a man hammering away that something that seemed fanatical. It's repeated again today when man pounding away the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost, getting a people ready for the coming judgment, or a shield from it. And a modern church laughing, making fun, saying there's nothing to it, and the days of miracles pass. It's a miracle. It's a sign at a junction. Praise God. Oncoming storm. I could see Noah at the door of the very ark. And I just like to believe one thing, that it wasn't that way. But Noah was standing in the door, and the only way to safety. I see Moses later standing at the door with the blood on the lintel, preaching judgment with the blood on the lintel. Today, Jesus is the door to the sheepfold. Ministers of the gospel standing in that door, pleading with the congregation to come to safety. And no doubt, but what there was, many laughed at Noah, made fun of him. The Bible said there were scoffers. I can just hear them say something like this: Noah, if you haven't got something better entertainment than that, we'll just stay home. The world today, America, doesn't want the gospel. They want entertainment. They've got to have something to entertain them. A lot of fancy music, something like that. Some kind of party. Some kind of wiener roast. Which of them things are all right outside the church? But the church is where judgment ought to be preached in the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And a warning. Judgment begins at the house of God. That's right, but that's why we come here. Not to be patted on the back and go off still wrong, but so that the word can convict us and bring us closer to God. Amen. Last little place here. Let's all stand. If the God in the days of Moses, in the days of Noah, could warn the birds and the cattle to come to safety in the ark, destruction was coming, a storm, he's still the same God tonight. He still loves the cattle and the birds. And if he made a way for a bird and a cow to escape the wrath of judgment, how much more has he made a way of escape for you and I, who are the offspring of his creation? How much more has he made a way of escape for us? We feel the Holy Spirit tugging at our heart. The hour is coming. We see the shadows of the atomic age. We see the shadows of the hydrogen age. We see nations are breaking. Israel's awaking. Brother, sister, we're at the end. Let's bow our heads.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, oh Lord, how we need you today. Lord, how we need to get into that ark. We need to be in Christ, Lord. Lord, I pray that you send a gusher from heaven upon us. May you pour out your Spirit in a mighty way. We want the rain, Lord. Send us the rain, oh God. Pour out the rain of the Holy Ghost upon the seeds that have been planted. We know your word is a seed, and you've planted in us an end time message, Lord, and we don't want to pervert it or twist it or put our own ideas to it. But Lord, we need your Spirit. You are the dynamics to quicken that word. Quicken that word in us, O God. Bless each and every one here today. Lord, forgive us where we've been wrong. Forgive us where we failed you. Lord, we're just human beings, Lord. We've been wrong in many ways and many times. Forgive us when we've spoken things that are not edifying. Forgive us where we've been negative and not always positive, Lord. How we need you, O God. Lord, fill us with your love. Fill us with the Holy Ghost and power. How we need it, Lord Jesus. Lord, bless each one here today. Oh, Lord, lead us to Calvary. Lead us to safety, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. If Jeremy come, praise the Lord. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing number 5, Amber. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. I love the verse. It says, by thy return, we need to return to getting in the presence of God. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my want and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often relief and all escape the tempter's snare. Oh Lord, return, sweet hour, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of the joy. The joy I feel, the bliss I share of those whose anxious spirits burn strong desire.